Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400. We're positive talk radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and that brings us to today's theme, because every show has a theme. Our theme today is what's going on with America. All three of my guests, we're going to look at one facet of American life, politics, business, or housing, and we're really going to talk about what's really happening in this country. My first guest couldn't be timelier. We're going to look at the campaign spending on the midterm elections, and we're going to ask the question, did the contributors get their money's worth? My second guest predicted the housing bubble before it happened. He believes that America is on an unsustainable path and that we must take steps as individuals to protect what wealth we still have left. My third guest is going to examine regulation in the mortgage, real estate, and financial services industry. We're going to look at the housing bubble to determine what steps need to be implemented to prevent something like this from happening again. If you want to join in the conversation with any of my guests, or if you have a comment on my commentary, you can call us at 639-0008. The results for the 2010 midterm elections are in. The votes are counted. The dust is settling. The election cycle, however, was the costliest in American history. Candidates spent more money to get elected than any other time in our nation. Look at just the California governor race. Meg Whitman spent $160 million. $71 million of that was her own money, and she lost. We're going to look at campaign spending and campaign financing on the national level with our next guest. Paul Blumenthal is a senior writer for the Sunlight Foundation. The Sunlight Foundation is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that uses the power of the internet to make government transparent and accountable. Paul covers influence in politics, focusing on connections between those in government and those seeking to influence it. Welcome to the show, Paul. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. And like I said before, you couldn't be timelier. We're right after the midterm elections, and let's get right into it, okay? The votes are counted. This was the most expensive election in American history. Here are just some of the figures. More than $454 million were spent by outside groups to influence the midterm elections. Most spending in a race for the Senate was Colorado, $32 million. Followed by Pennsylvania, $25 million, and Washington State, $19 million. Most spent on a House race, Michigan's 7th District, $8.5 million, Nevada's 3rd District, $7 million, and Ohio's 16th District, $6.5 million. I mean, those are just amazing numbers. Give us your overview of campaign contributions and campaign spending in this last election.
Well, the main overview is that we're seeing outside spending really increase among these groups, especially among groups who aren't aligned with a party, but maybe aligned with an ideology. And a lot of this is happening due to the Supreme Court ruling, Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission, which allowed groups to run advertisements calling for the defeat or calling for the election of certain candidates. And these groups, some of them don't have to disclose their donors, and some of them are just accepting unlimited amounts of money from millionaires and billionaires across the country. So we're really seeing a real reduction in the number of individuals who are having an effect through their money on our elections.
Now, is this the same Supreme Court ruling that allows corporations to also spend as much money? That it was just recently a 5-4 decision in the Supreme Court that said it was a violation of free speech under the First Right that corporations cannot spend as much money as they want to spend on campaigns. Is this the same ruling?
Yeah, that's the same ruling, and corporations and unions are basically using that ruling to put money into nonprofit organizations that are supposed to be run for educational purposes, but are now running election ads, calling for the support of Carly Fiorina or Ken Buck or Michael Bennett or Barbara Boxer.
All right. Well, help me to understand. I mean, the economics of this actually makes sense when you look at it. More and more money is being spent to chase fewer and fewer voters. I don't know if you heard my ramble before, but we're talking about only 29.99% of registered voters here in Ventura County actually voted. Very sad turnout. So with fewer people voting, the laws of supply and demand go into effect. It's the same number of candidates. They're chasing a shrinking voter base, which means it costs more to reach each potential voter. Am I missing something here? What's going on with reaching voters and campaign spending?
Well, I think that a lot of the spending is going into advertising, and a lot of it is also going into negative advertising, which tends to turn off voters. And I'm not sure if that's a purpose of a lot of this advertising by outside groups to try to make fewer people come to the polls. Maybe they think that the candidates who they support will do better in that kind of a system.
Well, it's interesting, Paul, that you should say that, because I'm a voter. I did vote this last election, but I ignore the mailers that come in the mail. I ignore the yard signs. I discount any television ads that I see by about 2/3. I only accept half of what's there. I actually switch off radio ads. How can this type of a system to get information to voters, how can it sustain itself if voters like myself are turning away from the very media that are trying to reach them?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is self-sustaining in that you have a whole group of consultants and media companies who are trying to pull as much money as they can, and, you know, they're offering the ability to make these advertisements, which they say will help sway voters. And a lot of voters don't pay a particularly large amount of attention to, what's going on. They might be paying more attention to the football game or, you know, anything else going out on the world, their job, their mortgage, their bank account. And that might be more important. And they turn on the TV, they watch the local news, as most Americans do, and they see this crush of advertising. And, you know, that might help them make up their minds.
Interesting. We're talking to Paul Blumenthal, everybody. He's with the Sunlight Foundation, a nonpartisan group that looks at campaign spending. Paul, I want to ask you this question, because you look at this on a national level. So the House, the Senate, the presidency, it seems you need to be a millionaire to get elected to any of these positions. Are we moving from a representative democracy to a plutocracy?
I don't know if we can exactly answer that question yet. I mean, certainly in the outside groups, it's a worrying trend, because these groups can, you know, they can be, you know, Americans for a Greater America or Citizens for a Happier America, and they're really just run and funded by a single billionaire. And so, you know, Citizens Against Earmarks could be two millionaires, but, you know, it's two citizens, but they make themselves out as though there's some large membership-based organization that has widespread support. And so I think that that is a worrying trend. The fact that more and more congressmen seem to be millionaires, I'm not really sure if that helps ingratiate them with funders or if it's an associational thing, but, you know, the case with Meg Whitman is a good example, where you see a lot of these people who decide to self-fund their races,
yes,
tend to lose, as we saw with Linda McMahon in Connecticut also.
All right. So Meg Whitman, Linda McMahon, going before that, Heinz before that, there were several other multimillionaires who have lost over time. Even at the mayoral level, we had Michael Bloomberg. So we got to take a caller here, Paul. We've got Rebecca's on the line. She's got a comment. Rebecca, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm great. Thank you so much for calling in. You had a comment or a question?
I just have a quick comment. You know, there's a real easy way for the politicians to get elected in my book, that I would vote down the line for the first person who would take all their money and just give it to the poor and feed the people that need feeding. They would get my vote no matter what.
All right. So even if they weren't elected,
money.
Uh huh. So take the money, donate it to a charitable cause, feed the poor, whatever it is, and that would actually do more good than getting elected to office.
They would get more votes. I'm so sick and tired. You know what I did with all of those flyers that came to my mail? They went right in the trash.
Sure, I understand,
it
Rebecca.
Did no good.
Yeah.
Feed some people. That would win my vote.
There you go. A good comment and a very constructive thing. Thank you, Rebecca, for calling.
Absolutely.
And thanks for being a listener. Paul, we're back to you. So you mentioned in your last answer there, a couple of millionaires can get together, create a political action fund or some sort of a shadow organization. Let's call out, who are some of the people behind the big money that is going into campaigns across the country?
Well, of the stuff that we know that is disclosed, American Crossroads is one of the biggest groups. This is a Karl Rove-associated outside group that does disclose its donors, and most of its money, about $7 million, has come from this guy, Bob Perry, who's a home builder in Texas. He's a longtime Republican supporter, a big contributor to the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth back in 2004, if you
sure.
remember that.
I do. Mm-hmm.
And to other groups that were running ads in the 2008 election. And you also have other people, Robert Rowling, who owns a company called TRT Holdings, which owns, among other things, Gold's Gym, the workout place. And there are a few others. There's another outside group that was based in Alaska called Alaskans for a Better Tomorrow, or Alaskans Standing Together, I believe. And that was made up of a bunch of contractors in Alaska that lobby for earmarks, and they were supporting Lisa Murkowski, who has provided them with contracts and earmarks in the past.
I see. So one hand scratches the other. I get it. Now, that group that's headed by Karl Rove, there's some other groups, too. Who's behind Citizens United?
Citizens United is a separate group, and they were largely created basically to challenge the campaign finance laws. Like, when in 2008, they came up with this movie about Hillary Clinton, who everyone thought was going to be the Democratic presidential nominee, but turned out not to be. And the whole idea of the movie was to challenge the campaign finance laws. They really just wanted it to get shot down by the Federal Election Commission, which governs campaign finance, and take it to court. And that's what they did. And the Supreme Court accepted their case and expanded the grounds of what was being challenged. And so it was a really remarkable decision based on what Citizens United was doing. And Citizens United is part of a whole group of activists who are trying to, find innovative ways to challenge campaign finance laws across the country and tear them down, including disclosure laws.
All right. We're talking to Paul Blumenthal, everybody, of the Sunlight Foundation. What about Speech Now? What's that organization all about, and who's behind that?
Speech Now is a similar group to Citizens United. They're part of these collection of groups that are trying to challenge rules across the country. And the main thing that they've done is they challenged the ability for groups to accept unlimited funds. And under the Citizens United ruling, they basically affirmed that groups can raise unlimited funds, but didn't say it specifically. So Speech Now challenged that and won. And they have continued to challenge other campaign finance laws, and recently got shot down by the Supreme Court as they were trying to stop disclosure laws from applying to the unlimited money that was going to a lot of these outside groups.
All right. Well, tell us, Paul, if you will, what is the purpose behind the Sunlight Foundation? Why are you guys investigating all of this? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, the Sunlight Foundation does a number of things, and one of them is to investigate campaign finance, ethics issues in Congress, personal financial disclosures of congressmen, and really look at the kind of influence data that surrounds our elected officials at every level. And, you know, we also advocate for more transparency in Congress and the executive branch and around these exact issues. And we try to enact new laws that will make it easier for the American people to see where the money is going in the political system. And so by reporting on this, we're trying to show how that data is useful and to try to hold officials accountable in their actions.
All right, we're talking to Paul Blumenthal, everybody, of the Sunlight Institute. Paul, I'm going to ask you to gaze into your crystal ball, look ahead to 2012. What do you see changing between now and 2012 when it comes to campaign financing?
Well, I think that the dynamics that we've been talking about here with the outside spending, with the new rules under Citizens United, are just going to continue, and that we'll see a continued increase in a lack of disclosure. We'll see more hidden money in the system and more groups popping up, particularly in the 2012 Republican primary, as the different factions within the party try to fight it out with outside money and candidate spending.
And then I go back to the caller that we had, Rebecca. She throws all of that stuff out when it comes in the mail. She ignores it on TV, et cetera. I do the same thing. So help me to understand, more and more money is going to be thrown at fewer and fewer people who are paying attention. How can this go on?
Well, I think it goes on because it must work at some level. It permeates into people's consciousnesses, some of these negative ads or these positive ads that they see. You know, a lot of these groups are also spending money on call banks where they can call supporters. You know, they have a very precise targeting mechanisms where they can figure out exactly who to target. And so long as there's money to flow in the political system, it will find a way to go somewhere.
Ah, well said, unfortunately. That's Paul Blumenthal, everybody. He's a member of the Sunlight Foundation, talking about campaign finances. Paul, as we get closer to 2012, we'll have you back on the show. Thanks for being our guest today here on Brainstorming.
Thanks a lot.
We'll talk to you soon. Take care.